rather smaller number of cases to this point, but similar but slightly fewer cases than last year. I'm talking in detail to Alison about this. It's clear that what we're seeing is an uneven distribution of cases through the year. So although we've had more cases than expected earlier in the year, we do expect that trajectory to come back to where we expect want it to be.
We have 25 cases. Last year we had 65 annually. Clearly we don't expect 100, and it's not a linear process. But can you explain why you feel that we have more in the first quarter and they're likely to drop? Because at 25 run rate, we're likely to have 100 cases of C. diff.
Yeah, so Alison feels that there is something about the biology of the disease which is causing it to cluster in these times of year. I'm not exactly sure what that is. And I need to get Alison to explain that fully, but it does look as if we're seeing clusters at different times of the year. The good thing is that we don't have any evidence of spread of the condition, so it's not that we're seeing clusters or spread within the hospital. We're seeing isolated cases, which is the key point.
Obviously, Chair, Alison is not at the meeting. It will be good to have something back in more detail at the next.
We'll produce something. And more technically detailed.
I think we should also note that we've had no MRSA case in June and celebrate.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Any other questions for Steve? Okay, Steve. Integrated scorecard?
I'll take the integrated scorecard as part of the operational report, unless there's any particular questions on the details of the scorecard itself.
My only question, Steve, is on the chart. There are lots of indicators on the last two pages that are to be determined. Is there a reason why they are not fully populated?
So I think as we've reported to the board that we introduced the scorecard through a significant amount of development in the latter part of last year. We introduced that to the board in January. We've got a programme of developing the scorecard with further indicators across the course of this year. I think the area that you're referring to, Sarika, is the glossary at the back end of the scorecard, which again was a development that we looked to put in to make sure that there were clear definitions around all of the indicators that are in the scorecard. So I think there are elements of the scorecard that are still work in progress.
Can you pass the mic? Okay, to Jay.
Thank you. I just wanted to pick out some of the people KPIs from the operational scorecard just to bring to your attention. I'm delighted that the vacancy rate continues to drop and improve. So with all of the people that are about to start, we're now at 6.14, and I've never known that so low. And our band 2 to 6, which always caused us some issues from a nursing perspective, is now at 4.71, which is lower than our 5% target. And again, I think that's the first time in years that we've ever had that. So I think some of the changes that we've made to the way that we're recruiting is significantly helping. Turnover rate also continues to drop. So one hopes that if we continue to engage with our people more effectively, then we will soon see that starts to continue to pay dividends as well. We talked some while ago about the new performance and development review that we were implementing for all of our people. That's going really, really well. We're at a 96% completion on the first phase of that, and we still have a further 1,100 of our managers who are going through that training and development. And that actually is really starting, I think, to change some cultural issues that we have in terms of our people talking together about performance, which has gone incredibly well. And I just wanted to mention Statman training, because we always focus on that and we always say how difficult it is to actually get done. Whilst we show a completion of just under 70% on Statman training, we're just about to start reporting an incompletion rate, because there is a lot of Statman training that our people have to do. Therefore, they can't complete it all in one go because there is just too much. And actually, our compliance and our completion at the moment is at 81% for all of those that are in train. And that gives me some greater encouragement that we're actually getting there and we're moving towards our target of 95%. Still a long way to go, but I think with us all sitting behind that, that's good. I just wanted to mention one other thing, and that's that we have a new occupational health consultant joining us on September the 1st, Dr. Basil Asufi, who will take on John Harrison's caseload from when he left. And we're delighted that Basil's going to be joining us, and thanks very much, Tony, for all of your support and help in really helping to recruit Basil. And Tony will actually mentor him when he comes into the Trust as well. I think that's a really positive way forward.
Thank you. Senga, in terms of the nursing situation, do you feel comfortable? Staffing levels?
Yes, we have a paper on the staffing levels later, and yes, I'm confident that everything is fine.
Okay, good. So,
there are two things shown on page 15, which I would just like clarity about. First of all is the issue about local induction, which has been an issue that we have raised on many previous occasions and is a matter of concern that this is not being completed to an vast majority of people. And secondly, I'd like to ask about consultant appraisal, which is now going to be essential for their revalidation. And I'm extremely surprised that the figure isn't 100%, let alone other reasons for being appraised.
So we have the responsible officer's annual report later on the agenda, where David Mitchell, who's the current responsible officer, will be here, and no doubt we can cover that. I have to say my personal view is that the appraisal rate should be 100% or as near as makes no difference to that, Tony, and that's what we'll be aiming for in future years. But we need to, I think if we cover that under later on with David Mitchell. And the other local induction is something that we discussed at the Audit Risk and Governance Committee and came forward with an action plan on that. It's clearly something that we haven't over the last 12 months addressed fully, and it's top of the list of my new Associate Medical Director for Education, Dr. Ruth Brown's agenda in terms of addressing that. We have dealt with, and indeed in this building today, you'll see the corporate induction for junior medical staff. But the local induction is something that we need to give more effort to. We had a 6-point action plan at the Audit Risk and Governance Committee. And we're clearly not where we need to be.
Okay.
If I could just add, Tony, particularly on the rest of local injunctions, so outside of our doctors, we've done a bit of research because we were concerned, as you are, around this. And in fact, what we found is that it is happening. People are just not recording it. So we are having an August amnesty, whereby we are saying that everyone who has been locally inducted needs to actually get onto the system and actually record that. So my expectation is that that number will significantly rise, because we do believe it's happening. We've seen the checklist. We know that it's out there. People just are not recording it on the system. So I would hope that the next time we meet, that would be significantly higher.
And if I can just add, I think that's also true of the medical, junior medical induction, but the thing I want to make sure of is that it's not only done, but it's done in a structured way.
Any other points on the operation report? Okay, thank you very much, Steve. Bill, finance.
Thank you. Great, thank you, Chairman. This is the finance report for quarter one, the end of month three, 2014-15. As Chief Operating Officer has said, the position year to date is disappointing. On